Chapter 48, The Blow That Never Came. The Rav and the leaders of the community stood together in the Beis Medrash. What should they do to save the parish? They felt completely lost. Before long, they heard the pounding of hooves along the street outside. There was a loud commotion coming from the front yard of the Beis Medrash, shouting mixed with whip cracking and snorting horses. The door crashed open and the parish and his men rushed inside. The priest followed quietly behind them, dragging his feet and looking very uncomfortable. The Rav and the community leaders stood in the path of the parts. His face was red and dripping with sweat, his eyes shooting sparks of rage. "Where is he?" demanded the parts. Everyone knew who he was looking for. "Please, sir," replied the Rav in a pleading voice. "Why would you want to harm a holy man who has never done anything wrong to anyone in his life? His sweet voice singing the beautiful words of Psalms is enough to make anyone's heart melt. Please, allow him to recite in peace." The Rav hoped to touch a spark of compassion in the heart of the pirates. The pirates, however, did not own such a spark. He was totally evil and had never had compassion for anyone in his life. He was certainly not prepared to let his prize slip away at the last moment. He had sent men twice to fetch Fievel without success. Now he would sort this out himself once and for all. "Move out of my way," he barked threateningly at those gathered before him. Fievish was the only person who remained sitting in the entire Beis Medrash. All the other Jews had locked themselves in their homes out of fear. Besides, it was easy to identify the parish because he wore a blindfold around his eyes. The parish strode forward. "Shut your mouth," he screamed at Fievish, trying to make himself heard over the sound of the Tehillim that the parish was singing loudly. Fievish continued singing exactly as before. Again and again, the parish yelled at the parish to stop, screaming until he was out of breath. "All right," he puffed at last. "I'll teach you a lesson right here and now." With that, he withdrew a whip from his belt. Waving the whip high above his head, he roared at Fievish. "Perhaps this will finally open up your ears." The Rav of Dubrovna and the community leaders watched in horror. They could do nothing but wait for Fievish to cry out in pain and confusion. How surprised they were when the terrible screams came not from the mouth of the parish, but from the evil parrots. "Save me," he hollered. "Help, save me." The parrots' men rushed to his side, but they could not help him. They could see nothing wrong with him at all. What was causing him to cry out in such pain? Between his screams, the parrots managed to tell them that just as he was about to send his whip crashing down on Fievish's head, his hand was struck with the most incredible agony that sent sparks of pain shooting across his entire body. Meanwhile, Fievish continued singing to him as if nothing had happened. Not knowing what to do, the men bundled the parrots into his carriage and hurried him back to his home. They called the best doctors to the parrots' bedside. The doctors tried all sorts of medicines, but none were able to help him. The parrots was now convinced that Fievish was indeed a holy man. He sent messengers to Dubrovna to beg the parish to forgive him and to remove the terrible pain from his body. But Fievish did not see or hear the messengers who came to visit him time and again. After 6 weeks of terrible pain, the doctors held a lengthy meeting and finally decided that they had no choice but to amputate the parish's hand, his right hand. And so, the very hand that the pirates had raised to strike Fievish was now cut off. No one doubted the holiness of the parish after that, and all of the people in the area of Dubrovna, Jews and non-Jews alike, treasured the name of the Tehillim reader of Dubrovna. At that time, a Jew named Reb Zundel lived in Dubrovna. He had been married for many years, but had not merited children. A number of other Jewish couples in the city faced the same difficulty. Now that Fievish's holiness had been revealed to all, Reb Zundel's wife had an idea. She suggested that they, along with the other childless couples of Dubrovna, donate money to build a new shul, especially for Fievish the parish. The other couples were pleased with her idea, and within a few months, the new shul was ready. It had a special room at the side for the parish. to everyone's amazement, all of the childless couples who had participated in building the shoal soon gave birth. One of these children was named Avramisha, and he grew attached to Phibish. Years later, when the parish passed away, Avramisha was appointed as the shamash of the shoal. Then, one day, a new parish turned up at the shoal and made it his home. His name was Reb Chaim. It was this Reb Chaim that Shmuel, the son of Eliezer Reuven, the blacksmith of Debar Missal, met while he waited to be accepted into the local yeshiva. He discovered that the shul had received its name, the shul of the old parish, while Phibish was still alive. Shmuel learned all this history from Avramisha, the shamash. As mentioned earlier, Shmuel repeated this information to his brother-in-law Yitzhak Shaul and his friend Baruch, who had come to spend Pesach at the home of Shmuel's father, the blacksmith of Debar Missal. Baruch was eager to hear stories such as these because they clearly showed the different ways of serving Hashem that existed among the Jewish people. He wanted to gather as much information as possible to help him in his own search. He would then be able to choose a path for the rest of his life, and in which he would soon build a family and raise children of his own.